Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 117 in the series entitled How to Cultivate Divine Love, Contained Love versus Infinite Love. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, during the winter of 5761.
Evening. The personal scribe of the Alter Rebbe was a Jew named Rebbe Reuven from a Russian city called Yanovich. He was the personal sefer who wrote the Alter Rebbe's tefillin as well as his mezuzahs. And the Alter Rebbe held this man in very high esteem, as he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a great Torah scholar, as well as a profound Yirei Shamayim, a very pious and spiritual Jew. In the 60s, the Alter Rebbe's tefillin were smuggled out of Russia, and they arrived to the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and those tefillin were written by Rebbe Reuven. And he displayed them in 770, and he allowed whoever wished to pass by and observe the tefillin, those who went to the mikveh that morning. So there were someone or some people who were jealous of Rebbe Reuven, and they came to the Alter Rebbe and they said that you should know that the ink that he uses for writing the things you need, the Tashmish Kedusha, the Tefillin, the Mezuzahs, etc., he mixes other material into it. It's not pure ink. The Alter Rebbe responded and he said, it's true. It's not only ink. He mixes in a large quantity of another substance into that ink. He mixes in a lot of Yerushamayim into it. Now, the chapter 43 of Tanya is dedicated to explore two levels of Yiras Hashem, a fear of heaven, of Hashem, known as Yirat HaTorah and Yirat Law, the lower level of awe and the higher level of awe. I recently read another story. There was a Rav, a rabbi in Russia, who came to the Tzemach Tzedek, the grandson of the Alter Rebbe. And he lamented to the Rebbe, saying that his balabatim, his community members, don't give him any respect. They don't have any awe in his presence. So the Tzemach Tzedek responded and said, "Bishas duvist anheben, Meirahabn from the Mara the High Alma, Velnze Anheb Meirahabn from the Mara the Asra. When you'll begin experiencing awe from the Master of the Universe, then they'll begin, automatically, they will begin experiencing awe from the Master of the City, the Mara the Asra." So in the lower level of awe itself, the Alter Rebbe said in the beginning of 43, there are two dimensions. There is katnus and gadlus, the lower quality of fear and the higher, greater quality of fear. The lower quality of fear comes from the knowledge that each activity that I do, each word I utter, even each thought that I think is noticed. It's just being noticed by somebody. And if you really believe that, if that's a reality in your mind, that whatever you do is just being noticed by somebody, that itself inculcates within a person a certain feeling of fear to do or say or think certain things. It's just usually we don't think anybody notices. That's katnus. That's a smaller level of awe. A greater level of yiritatov, the lower level of awe. The greater, higher level within the lower level of awe. Stage B in the first class. Not first class, in the first level, second class, comes from the knowledge of the Jew that he or she is living in the presence of greatness. That knowledge humbles a human being. When somebody, again, takes this seriously, observes the awesomeness of the cosmos, the spiritual cosmos, but first the physical cosmos, he is taken aback when one observes, becomes aware of the grandeur of the world and of all of the worlds. One senses somewhat of the grandeur of the Ribbono Shel Olam, of the Mara Dehayalma, of the Master of the Universe who fills all of these awesome worlds. And in the presence of such a being, one is naturally awed. One is awestruck. One stands back. One recoils. So the Alter Rebbe says, when one stands face to face with the world and reflects upon the grandeur of the Maradai Alma, of the one above who fills all these worlds, it's not only it will prevent him from doing certain things because somebody is noticing, but it rather changes him. It reduces one's ego, it humbles one's identity. But this is not it. Because here, the Alter Rebbe said, one is experiencing Hashem's grandeur via the cosmos, via the worlds, and thus he's experiencing only that grandeur that is expressed through the worlds. How much of Hashem's greatness is expressed through the worlds and is thus sensed via the universes? A very minuscule amount, if not less, as we shall see. And therefore, these lower levels of awe he defined as Yira Chitzainis and Yira Tata, which means an external law, an awe that comes, as always, that stems from appreciating only the external projections of godliness, his external grandeur and majesty and royalty, that which is conveyed via the cosmos and all of the universes, and thus it's also a Yira Tata, a lower level of awe. In contrast to this, we now come to explore the second level, Yiri La, the higher level of awe. I should just preface that this higher level is one of the revolutions of the Alter Rebbe in Tanya. And although, as he will demonstrate, it's all based on the teachings of Kabbalah, as well as the whole body of Torah literature, but nonetheless, it took a man like the Alter Rebbe to find it, to highlight it, to explore it, to emphasize it. Now, the subject of Yiras Hashem, of awe of Hashem, is a subject that's treated in an elaborate fashion among various works of Jewish spirituality and ethics. For example, we mentioned last week the Rambam's powerful definition of Yira in Hilchis Yesodei HaTorah. But one of the basic books of Jewish ethics and spirituality is the Reishis Chachma, authored by Rabbi Eliyahu Devi Dash, who was a great student of Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, the Ramak, lived in Tzvas and in Chevron in the 16th century. The Arizal, by the way, was also for a while a student of the Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordovero. And the Reishis Chachma, the first portal of his book, is Shaar Ha'ira. And in those 15 chapters, he really creates an encyclopedia of what Yiras Hashem means. He discusses many, many levels of awe and calls from all sources. Everywhere that the Zohar or the Gemara or the Midrashim talk about Yira, it finds its way there, and he really organizes it in a systematic way. Those are 15 quite heavy chapters in Reishis Chachma. The Maharal of Prague lived in the same century, wrote a sefer called Nesivos Olam. And in Nesivos Olam, one of the Nesivos, one of the paths, is called Nesiv HaYira. And in the 6 chapters of Nesiv HaYira, he explores what is the essence of Yiras Hashem in the Maharal's unique way. He doesn't enumerate many levels like the Reishis Chachma, but he explores what is the core, what is at the root of Yiras Hashem in a very interesting way. But the Reishis Chachma really brings from all the other previous sources. In Zohar, there's a lot about Yiras Hashem, and of course in Gemara, although in Zohar a little more. Nonetheless, after reading all of it, they do not explore this level of Yiri Law. This level that Alter Rebbe is going to describe as the higher level of awe is first found, explained in the Tanya in this chapter 43. And it really, it follows naturally from the revolution of Chassidus in general, particularly of Chassidus Chabad, in what is the ultimate meaning of the unity of Hashem, the existence of the universe, our relationship with Hashem, and so on and so forth. So let's see inside the next level. It's page 122, Tav Samach Aleph Amid Beis, the center of the page, after the words HaTorah VaHaMitzvos at the period. Ach HaYira. Ach, however, HaYira Lo, the level defined as Yira Lo, higher all. Yirei boshes, a fear stemming from a sense of shame. V'yirei pnimis, and an inner awe. Sheinim sheches mipnimius elikus shebeteicha ilamis, which stems from the intimate aspects of godliness within the worlds, versus the external aspects of godliness. From the intimate aspects of godliness, pnimiyus alakos. Allah amru, concerning this level, it was said by our sages in Pirkei Avos, imein chachme ein yira. If there is no wisdom, there is no fear. This level of awe must be prefaced by wisdom. In contrast to the previous level of awe, described in the beginning of the chapter, the level of Yiratata upon which our sages declared in Pirkei Avos, Imein Yirein Chachma, that fear must preface the wisdom of Torah and the implementation of that wisdom. But concerning this level of awe, our sages have said, if there's no Chachma, there's no Yira. And thus the contradiction between the two statements discussed last week is reconciled. We're dealing with two levels of awe, and this level of awe must follow, and it must have as a prerequisite and a foundation Chachma. It can only come after Chachma. So in contrast to Yira Chitzoinis Vitata, over here we begin discovering Yira Pnimius and Ilah. Instead of an external law, an internal law. And instead of a lower law, a higher law. Which means, in other words, there are two components. And Alter Rebbe, it's quite interesting that in contrast to almost 2 complete chapters devoted to Yiratata, Yirilah will be treated in 14 lines. The reason I assume for it is, but this is a sefer shalbeinim. This is a sefer for ordinary people, ordinary Jews, which means us human beings sitting around this table. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe made sure that every word of the sefer belongs to the Beinoni. I shared with you once, the Alter Rebbe wrote another book. It's called the Sefer Shel Tzadikim. It seems that he completed it. the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe once related to his son-in-law, to the Rebbe, that the Shpoler Zayde once remarked, he came to visit Alter Rebbe, they were very close. And he said that the fact that you authored a Sefer Shal Tzadikim, a book for the righteous Jews, for the super Jews, for the superhuman Jews, created a major commotion in the heavenly chambers. And they decreed that the book shall be consumed. And I will be consumed during that fire as well. I believe it was in the year Tovkuf Ayin, which means 1810, a fire broke out in Liadi, and it burnt the original manuscript of the Sefer Shel Tzadikim. And Mamish, at that time, the Shpoler Zayde passed away. His soul went up to heaven. It's difficult to speculate what would be written in the Sefer Shel Tzadikim, but one might guess that over there, Yiri Law would be treated in a more elaborate fashion. It would be receiving more than 14 lines, but I don't know. We're still working on the Beinoni, you know.
For the common man.
Right. So, and therefore, every word is extremely meticulous, and there's a lot of nuances. And there's a whole world, a whole universe compressed in these 14 lines. So it's important to notice the words, the sentence structures, and each expression of the Alter Rebbe. So there are two points here, two names, Yira Tata and Chitzaynis versus Yira Ila and Pnimius. Which means, in other words, that the source of the awe determines its quality. When the source of the awe, when the origin of the awe is Chitzaynis, is the external elements of godliness, that grandeur expressed via the cosmos. So the awe that it brings about is a lower level of awe. However, when the awe's origin is from Pnimis Halakus, from the intimacy of godliness that's in the world, then the awe that it causes is a higher level of awe, an awe that he calls Yirei Boishes, an awe which is defined as shame. Now, fortunately, in the Alter Rebbe's Siddur, there is a Siddur, the Alter Rebbe wrote his own Siddur, as we know, and his son, the Mittler Rebbe, published it with many Hasidic discourses that the Alter Rebbe said on the Siddur, on their various prayers. In the section of Tikkun Chatzais, the prayers that Jews say during their midnight supplications for Mashiach and for the end of Galus, the Alter Rebbe wrote a discourse. It's called Ha'aru L'Tikkun Chatzais, a footnote for Tikkun Chatzais. See, and a footnote. But there he says that this is an additional explanation to Tanya chapter 43. And Alter Rebbe says that I heard from my teacher, which means the Maggid of Mizrich, that he explained that the difference between Yir Tata and Yir Ila, the lower level and the higher level of awe respectively, is the difference between somebody who walks into the domain of a man in power, in absolute power, a king, or versus somebody who walks into the domain of a great tzaddik of the generation, a Rebbe. When somebody walks into the domain of somebody, now this is a metaphor, it's an example, and as every example, it doesn't convey the theme completely. When somebody walks into the domain of somebody with real power, it humbles us. It creates a certain awe. Now, in today's democratic societies, it's hard to find officially somebody with real power, absolute power. I mean, everybody can be impeached. Everybody can ultimately find their exit. But the example the Maggid gives is a king, which, as I mentioned several times, is an absolute metaphor in today's day and age. But in the Maggid's day and age, a king was a very good metaphor. It was a very applicable and contemporary parable. A king had absolute power. Power that could not be challenged by anybody. By any subject, by any man, by any minister, by nobody. And when somebody walks into the domain of such a person, the person is awestruck, not necessarily because he can do whatever he wishes to you. That's on one level, but there might be a deeper awe. Just an awe from the person's awesomeness, from the person's greatness, aloofness, sublimity, grandeur, majesty, royalty, whatever it is. It just reduces our egos. However, as the Maggid says, as the Alter Rebbe explains it,
this awe is from the external dimensions of the king. The awe is not coming from the inner personality of the king, from his inner sensitivity, from his inner spirituality. It's coming from the king's power, from his expression, from his majesty. Not from his inner workings. It doesn't come from the essential nature of his psychological makeup. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe says, as a result of that, since the awe is coming from the external elements of the king, so also it's not an absolute awe. In the sense, my ego still adds up to something, even in the presence of his greatness. Because a king's glory is made up of the fact that he's a king over people like me. So I ultimately add up to something in his greatness. If I would be nothing, the king would ultimately be nothing. What defines the majesty of a king is the fact that he is a king over people, that he can exercise his power over subjects, and the more subjects he's a king over, the greater the power. So the subjects add up to something even in the presence of his greatness. Then the Maggid says, as the Alter Rebbe explains it, is when you walk into a Rebbe. And this is a real Rebbe and a real tzaddik. Over here you observe a person who's totally molded of another clay. A person who doesn't have an ego. A person whose every fiber of his entity bespeaks godliness, bespeaks transcendence. And any sensitive person, you're lost. You melt away. You can't find yourself. In the presence of a king, you can ultimately find yourself. Because his majesty is defined by the fact that he is your ruler. But in the presence of a great tzaddik, of a real rabbi, first of all, the year is not from the chitzonius, it's from his pnimius. It's not from his externality. It comes from his intimacy, from who he is as a human being. And in the presence of such a person, one becomes ashamed with his very identity. When you view yourself in the presence of such a person, the self doesn't find really a justification to exist. You're just totally humbled in the presence of a person who's of another nature totally. You search for a hole where you can hide. You can't find yourself there. You lose yourself there. That's true. That's stage two. That's true. He serves as an inspiration for you to grow. But that initial reaction is a total sense of shame where the person totally loses himself. He doesn't find himself within that greatness. The greatness of the Rebbe is not made up from his minuscule identity as is the king. It's of another nature. The theme that we're trying to convey, there also exist these two elements. There's the awe that one experiences from the grandeur of Hashem that's expressed via the worlds. And when one experiences that grandeur, she still finds themselves within it. Their identity still has validity and justification. However, when one discovers Pnimi Yisalakos, the intimacy of Hashem, there man loses his ground totally. Man doesn't find himself, he loses himself and he melts away in shame, as the Alter Rebbe will explain. Now let's see, the Alter Rebbe will go on to explain this. So on this level of what our sages said, Imein Yira, Imein Chachmein Yira, it must be prefaced by Chachma. The Chachma, what is Chachma? Chachma hi koyach ma. Chachma is a composite of the two words, koyach ma, which literally means the power of what. V'chachma me'ayin timotzei, and Chachma comes, is discovered from ayin, from nothingness. Now this is a direct quotation from a pasuk in Iyov in Job. In chapter 28, Iyov laments and asks, he says, you know, you can find in this world, you can find silver, You can find gold, you can find diamonds and jewels and metals, and he goes on and on. But he says, where can you find wisdom? Divine wisdom is not to be found. The Alter Rebbe interprets it as a statement, not only as a question. Very good, and Alter Rebbe will quote that a little later. It's all going to fit into this jigsaw puzzle. But that's good, yeah. The Alter Rebbe says, "Hachachma meyayin timatze." Ken zecheislen mayid noziyev. Right. The Alter Rebbe says, "Chachma comes from ayin." Now, what does this mean, Chachma comes from Ayin? Chachma is the intellectual faculty of conception, explained in chapter 3 and 18 and 19, is the ability of the mind to conceive a new concept or new idea that was inaccessible to the mind previously. To put it in other words, for the mind, this new idea that it wants to conceive was in a place of nothingness. In a place that was meaningless for the mind, it had no relationship to it, it meant nothing for it, either in the subconscious of the soul, or in a place that for the mind was totally inaccessible, it couldn't grasp it, it couldn't understand it, it wasn't something. It was meaningless in its world, for all practical purposes it was nothing. And Chachma is the ability of the mind to find something, to experience something from Ayin, from that place of nothingness, something totally new. How does Chachma do that? By it becoming nothing. Our identity has in it the ability to suspend itself. And that's what Chachma is. Chachma is the human ability to transcend your intellectual ego, to become comfortable with its nothingness. And that's how Chachma can experience something new from the realm of nothingness. And that's why Chachma makes up the words koyachma, the power of what? Which really means, we just learned in yesterday's parsha, Parsha's Bashalach, Moshe Rabbeinu said, v'nachnu ma, what are we? What does he mean, what are we? We're nothing. We're just conduits for Hashem's wish. Koyachma means the power of what? What is it? It's the power of nothingness. Chachma is the ability, the power to become nothing. Is the ability to realize your nothingness, your borders, your limitations, and just open, and thus open yourself up to a higher light, to a higher truth. And then Chachma experiences that nothingness that was previously inaccessible to it. Bina, comprehension, doesn't come ayin. It comes from a something. And therefore, Bina requires self-assertion. Chachma requires self-suspension, self-negation, transcendence of self. That gives you the ability to enter into a world of nothingness, to enter into an inaccessible, a transcendental idea. Why didn't you understand the idea till now? Because it defies the parameters of your intellect. So what has to happen is, you have to suspend those parameters and enter into a higher world, and then you can experience something higher. That's what the essence of Chachma is. And therefore, these different types of human beings, for example, people who could never put aside their intellectual identity, could never learn anything new. Never. There are people who traveled the entire world, but they remain as provincial as the day they left their own hometown. They can travel through many worlds, but still remain in their own world. And then there's a person who can remain his whole life in one corner, but his vision embraces universes. Because it depends what your reference point is. Some people, they just have their scope, their perspective, and you could never become a vessel for something new, for something that transcends you. So that's what Chachma is, the ability of experiencing your own nothingness. The Rebbe continues now. Ve'ezo Chachem harayis hanoylet. Our sages said, who is wise? He who sees that which is born. Which is a Gemara. This is a Gemara in Mesichta Tamid, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara says there, Asara Devarim Shal Alexander Maigdain Ezikneh HaNegev. Alexander of Macedonia, Alexander the Great, asked 10 questions from the elders of the south. And those are 10 real questions. I mean, one question is, what was created first, light or darkness? One question is, what's the secret to live? What should a person do in order to live? One of the questions is, Eizeh Chacham, as he put it, Eidein Miskari Chacham, who is defined as a wise person? And the Jewish sages responded, Eizeh Chacham Harayas Hanaylet, who is a wise man? He who sees that which is born. So literally, Rashi explains, who is a wise man? Rashi says, Ameivin Belibu Mashasid Liyos. He knows how to read the world. He knows how to discern what will be the future of the universe. He can on his own imagine and predict what was going to happen. He sees that which will be produced, which will be born in the future. The Alter Rebbe presents now here his interpretation. Eizo chachem arayes hanaylet. Who is a chachem? He who sees that which is born. Pirush it means, and listen to the Alter Rebbe's words. Sheraya kol davar, he sees everything. Eich noilad v'nishave meyayin liyesh, how it is born and created from non-being to being. Bidvar Hashem beruach piv yizbarach, by means of the word of Hashem and the breath of His mouth. K'may shekasuv, as it is written. As the pasuk says in Tehillim chapter 33, Uver ruach piv kol tzvam, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts were created. Who is a chacham? Somebody who not. Rebbe Maharash, I once heard from the Rebbe during a Shabbos gathering that the Rebbe Maharash had a gabbai. And this gabbai would have a box of shmek tabak. You know what shmek tabak is? A container for snuff. Tobacco snuff. Yeah. And the gabbai was designated. He would go around the Beis Medrash when the Rebbe Maharash was talking with the tobacco snuff. So the Alter Rebbe, back to our discussion, the Alter Rebbe interprets it, Eizel Chachem Harayas Anaylet, who is a wise man, who sees that which is born, he knows how to read the world. He views the world and he appreciates how everything is born at every moment and created from a state of non-being to being through the word of Hashem. Harayas Anaylet, he sees how everything is being born at every moment from nothing to something. As everything, it's a good question, as everything in Chassidus, it explores the soul of the Nigla. The soul of the esoteric explores the soul of that revealed dimensions of Torah. Rashi says he knows how to read the world in the sense he can predict the future. The Alter Rebbe says he knows how to read the soul of the world. He knows how to view the universe and see that it was born. It was just born at this moment through the word of Hashem. And one perhaps can say, and thus he can predict where the universe is heading. A transcendent consciousness is another way to define it. Yes. When you understand the source of something, so you can predict the outcome, etc. So that's perhaps how you can connect it. So the Alter Rebbe says, V'ei l'zois, therefore, since he has the vision of the world, he sees everything, how it was born at this moment, ei l'zois, therefore, harei ha-shamayim v'aretz v'chol tzvam, the heavens and the earth and all their hosts, which means all of creation. Ptelim b'mitziyis mamish, Their entire existence is truly nullified. Bidvar Hashem v'ruach pif. Within the word of Hashem and the breath of His mouth. Being that it's born at every moment from something to nothing by Hashem's word and the breath of His mouth. To give some example, and we discussed this at length more in chapter 20 with Alter Rebbe, introduced this concept for the first time. Imagine a person saying a story, telling a story. In the story, if he's a good storyteller, the story, he creates a space, he populates it with people, he creates a time scale for the story, he fills it with heroes, and he creates the drama that transpires between the characters of the story. Now imagine a real story. But everybody understands that the moment he ceases to tell the story, the characters don't exist anymore. Why not? Because the storyteller is the one who's giving birth to these characters as he is saying the story. They don't have an identity outside of the very story. They are the story. The story is what constitutes their identity. The definition of their identity, of their existence, is the fact that you're telling their story. That is what defines them. Zogda Alter Rebbe, what is the world? You have to know how to read the world. The world is Hashem telling a story. In fact, this is very similar to actually what it literally says in Parshas Bereishis. Vayomer Elokim yihi or vayihi or. Hashem said, let there be light, and there was light. Hashem said, Teitzayar, it's not for Shchaya, vayihi chein. So Chassidus interprets vayihi chein, that is the definition of light. Hashem saying that there should be light. One second. It didn't stop. He didn't finish yet. You're saying this is the lower level of unity. One second. So what is a chacham? The Alter Rebbe's definition of a chacham is hachachma miyayin timotze. He can appreciate nothingness. He can appreciate, look at the world and see how it's being born at this moment. It's essentially nothing. He looks at the heaven. He looks at the earth. He looks at the cosmos. He looks at humanity. And what does he see? He sees Hashem telling a story. Right now the story is being told. And that is the meaning of their existence. They don't have any other existence. He looks at another human being. And what does he see? You look at another person. What does the Chacham see? Hashem is now telling a story in this particular form. And every moment of your existence is a continuation of that story. And the changes that are brought about in the world are the changes in the story. I mean, just so imagine somebody's telling a story. And they build a hero, and there are sad parts and joyous parts and melancholy parts and exhilarating parts, and the heroes change in a beginning and an end and so on and so forth. And that's the story of life. That's what the Chacham sees. When the Chacham looks at himself, what does he see? What is my identity? Hashem is now telling my story. So therefore, he comes to appreciate the world in a new way. It has no identity outside of the fact of the storyteller and of the story. And Alter Rebbe's words, "Ptelim b'metzias mamish b'dvar Hashem." It's really nullified in the word that's constantly bringing it into being. That's its real definition. If you don't define yourself that way, you're not defining yourself based on your true reality. What my true reality at this moment is Hashem saying my story. That's a different perception.
Rabbi, you're kind of saying that we're kind of actors or puppets being...
That's where the parable falls horribly short. In two areas. Or just one moment. The
You know, the Alter Rebbe, there's the story told that the Alter Rebbe ended his life in some hick town in Russia, a little tiny village. It was called Piena. And the Alter Rebbe fell ill upon escaping Napoleon's army in 1812 when Napoleon invaded Tsarist Russia. And the winter of 1812 was a very, very cold winter. And it affected the Alter Rebbe's health. And he fell ill and they had to stop in this village. And he lived the last few weeks of his life in a little hut that a Gentile agreed to rent to them. And lying in bed a few days before he passed away, the 24th of Tevis, he summoned his grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, who became later the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he pointed to the ceiling and he said, "Mendel Vazesto, what do you see?" Tzemach Tzedek said, "Zeda, I see the rafter." And Alter Rebbe said, "Gleib mir, as ich zenisht, de keira ich zed de ayin ha leki vos es es mahava." The Alter Rebbe said, "Believe me, I don't see a rafter. I see the godliness that's sustaining it." To see the world that way, to be able to look at a human being, to look at a rafter, to look at a star, to look at a car, to look at yourself. Who am I? An expression of godliness. Hashem telling a story. That is the definition of my existence. I read once, a man once wrote a novel. Somebody sent me an excerpt of it via the email, in which he brings home in a startling way the relationship between a creator and a sustainer. It's a novel about a novel, about the character of a novel, a character who is written up in a novel. And in one scene, this character is having a drink in a bar. He's drinking. And he's minding his own business. And he's enjoying himself. And suddenly he feels that an awesome presence is about to enter the bar. And he begins sweating. And when that presence actually enters into the bar, he's reduced to nothingness. Who's about to enter the bar? The author. The author. When the author of the book steps into the novel to visit his character, suddenly the character's perception of the world is changed forever. He realizes that he doesn't exist independently. Every moment of his life requires a new stroke of the pen of the author. He has no existence outside of the pen of the author. So he's minding his own business, but suddenly when the author walks in, he realizes that is his, he doesn't have an identity outside of the stroke of his pen. Existence has an author. The author of existence is Hashem. And to be able to view the world and see what is the world. The world and every aspect of the world has no identity save the stroke of the pen of the author. That is a chacham. Harayas hanoilad. He sees it being born. All these metaphors fall short in two powerful ways. Number one, when you tell a story, the hero doesn't really have a concrete reality. There are only words. Obviously, there's no identity outside of your words.
The word of Hashem created a world. A world you can touch, a world you can sense, a world that exists. But since it's really something from nothing, and in us, in our model, in our life, we have no example of us creating something from nothing. The best example we can give is somebody telling a story, where you create a character, something from nothing, and the whole definition of the character is that you're telling him, that you're speaking him into being, so to speak. That's what his identity is. The other major difference is the element of free choice, of evil in the world. There is evil in the world. Chassidus never says there's no evil in the world. Chassidus doesn't say evil doesn't have an existence. Chassidus says evil doesn't have a reality. Big difference. Existence is one rung lower than reality. Evil is based on the fact that reality is being covered up. When you lose sight of the truth that you and the person near you is really Hashem telling a story, you start treating yourself and the other person as if you're your own story. The character in the novel has his own identity. And here evil can be introduced. It has an existence, and sadly a powerful existence. It has no reality, which means it has no truth to it. Its whole existence is based on reality being veiled, covered up. And that's why evil doesn't have an enduring power, because its whole power is just from truth being covered. And the moment the mask is removed, it's reduced to nothingness. Evil thrives on cover-ups. That's why the first thing every dictator, every evil monarch, the first thing Stalin and Hitler, Yimach Shemam, had to do when they came into office was create a bureau of information. All the information to the people came through them. People cannot know what's really going on. Because evil thrives on truth being covered. When the truth is exposed, there would be a revolution. Truth doesn't need cover-ups. Holiness doesn't need cover-ups. When you treat somebody like the story, this is a story being told, you don't have to cover it. It's real. That's what it means. We have to understand this. So Hashem, who am I? Hashem telling my story. But he allowed himself to tell the story in a way that the one whose story is being told can perceive as if he's his own story. And thus make his own choices. Like the character in the novel, for a while he chose his drink. And that drink worked well. And he minded his own business. But then the moment the author came in, his perception was changed forever. He was reduced to nothingness. And that's what a human being ultimately experiences. And this is what the Alter Rebbe is trying to inculcate. Ezo chachem harayas aneilut. You have to know how to read the world. There are five powerful revolutionary implications of this doctrine. A doctrine that was originally emphasized through the Baal Shem Tov, but really explained through the Alter Rebbe. The first powerful implication is the unity of Hashem. The world, the universe, did not compromise Hashem being the exclusive reality. Just as he was before creation, he's post-creation. Just like the character in the novel doesn't make the author any less lonely. The second powerful implication is, if I want to be in touch with myself, I have to be in touch with my godliness, with my spirituality.